He's inspiration now. I think we actually used him today. We had a guy come by, the Infinity guy, or was it Netgear? I don't know. But fixing our Wi-Fi so we have better connectivity. And anyways, the guy actually, we were having a conversation about the Bible a little bit, and it was not actually going the best. Like, I was trying to avoid it becoming a confrontation because the guy was pretty much saying that his religion is the only one that can go to heaven and everyone else lost. And it was leading that way, so I was trying to steer it away from that. And then Jared, we talked about Jared and how he's been living with us for 2 years and what a work God is doing in his life and how he gets good grades now. And just from going to church and reading the Bible and how God's really helped bless his life, and it's been a blessing to us. And that kind of started to diffuse the guy when he was trying to argue about his religion being the only right one. And then, when I kept talking with the guy, I actually, the very end of it, it got towards my testimony. We talked with the guy for like an hour. And when I got to the testimony, like, everything just lightened up. I don't know, it's the power of your testimony. It says, what the book of Revelation says, that they, talking about the saints, they overcame that old serpent, which is the devil, by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So your testimony is a weapon. And, I mean, the combination of testimony, what God's doing in Jared's life, and then mine, kind of pulled the rug out from under this guy's argument. And then he had to kind of think about, he was admitting, the Word of God can help anyone. It's really a blessing to people. And I think that, praise God. So in my younger years, I would definitely, people would bait me for an argument, and I went in right for it. So, but I've learned over the years that no one wins an argument, and unfortunately, I still fall into the trap far too often. So I still haven't mastered that one. But I do know whenever you get an argument, it almost never turns out good for either party. So, praise God. We're going to actually do my beautiful wife, she's been leading prayer more and more often here lately. How many people think that's such a great blessing? She does an amazing job. She thinks I'm just telling her that. But you guys think, I mean, it really gets to you something. It makes you really, like, I really need to get a hold of God right now. So, I know when I went to Bible college, the Brother Mooney, he said, people come into church and they leave and they don't, at some point in the message, they're like, man, I really need God right now. Like, they get to a place of repentance at some point in that message, like, you pretty much wasted your time. Because if someone doesn't see their need for God, they're not going to get any different. They're not going to get any closer to God. And that's the solution for everyone's problem. So, praise God. So, it is, I don't have anything profound tonight. Just a Bible study. And Jared, I don't know, Caitlin has heard this very much before. So that's where we're going. Today is the 10th. I know. So I think we teach Proverbs very often in our household. Because the thing is, I want them like just constantly in my mind all the time. So I know repetition like really ingrains it into you. So, I mean, for her, nothing revelatory. She's actually probably heard it so many times. But I like the scripture to jump back out at me again and again. So I like to repeat it a bunch. So I think if they taught the Proverbs in the American public school system, we would have so many wealthy people in this country. I really wish they would teach it in the public school system. I think it would be impossible to not have a bunch of young people become very wealthy just by studying the Proverbs. It was written by the world's richest man at the time, Solomon, you know. And he just, his years and years of being in the position he was in, he just kind of bestows this knowledge to the rest of the world. Praise God. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10, and we're just going to go verse by verse. And something jumps out, I'll try to talk about it. If not, we'll move on to the next. Okay. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd just bless us tonight, Lord. I pray you'd meet us here, Lord. We know there's power in your word, Lord, and no one has a complete understanding of it all, Lord Jesus, Lord. And I know I for surely don't, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that if there's anything, Lord, that could be a blessing to people here, Lord, that you would just reveal it to us here, Lord, and help me be an effective minister of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1. So the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh glad a father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So it's just kind of stating the fact that a mother is going to love her child no matter what, even if they make really bad mistakes. And the mother, it's going to be very painful for the mother. And you can see that. Unfortunately, a mother will love their child to the end, even if they, you see down the shelters, people doing drugs and alcohol, and they're causing their own problems, but a mother will still constantly be concerned and try to just worry about them all the time. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but the righteousness delivereth from death. But the righteousness delivers from death. So treasures of wickedness profit nothing. They talk about on the streets all the time, very common language, that there is dirty money and clean money. If you get money the right way by hard work on the streets, what this their slang is, if you work hard for it, you get it from a job, the money lasts a lot longer than the money that you get wrong. The ill-gotten gains just don't do the same good. If you steal to get your money, if you lie, cheat, steal, rob someone, that money just has a way of disappearing very rapidly. That's kind of what it says, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. So if you get the money the wrong way, don't count on it lasting very long. So don't entertain ideas of how to get money when it's not right. But righteousness delivereth from death. Doing the right thing, it saves you from problems. And problems, that some of these problems can actually lead even to death. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. So a wicked man may have a lot of assets and a lot of possessions that he's accumulated, but God has a way of just kind of letting them all crumble all at once. That the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. So righteous, you're doing the right thing somehow, some way. Solomon's father once said, I once was young and now I'm old, but one thing I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So Solomon restates it a little bit different here. But when you do the right thing, even when no one's watching, because that's the real test. A lot of people will do the right thing when people are watching. Especially if it's going to get them some brownie points. They're going to go above and beyond and make it look like they're really doing the right thing. But if you're really doing the right thing when no one's watching, God will take care of you. Because it takes faith. It takes faith to live right when no one knows but you and God. Verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becometh poor with a slack hand. Slack hand means a lazy person. A person that is idle. A person that just, you ask them to do something, and you got to ask them again and again. You got to check up on them. You got to make sure that they really did what you asked them to do. Like, they are going to be a poor person most of their life. Unfortunately, it's what the Bible says. Can't break the Bible. The Bible says it. It's what's going to happen. So, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Diligent, like, on the job site, you want to be known as a diligent worker. Not like, I would love for people to know me as a diligent worker. That would be a high honor. A lot of people think that they are all that and think that, but it doesn't really matter what you think about yourself. It's more what your coworkers say about you, because there's probably some truth, and even if they're saying stuff that you don't like, there probably is a little bit of truth into what they're saying, even if they exaggerate it. But if you are a hard worker, like, I am an employer to some people, and I constantly have to tell employees, like, look, it's not a popularity contest. Like, that's not what work's about. Like, people want you to come to work, and they want you on their team if you pull your weight. If you make their job easier, then they request, hey, could you have that guy, could you send him with me? It's not because they like you more. It's not because you're cool and make good jokes and have a, like, you actually do your job and you make their life easier. Most people, what is it? What, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people? That's pretty much common in almost every job. So if you're one of the 20% of the doers, then guess what? Everyone's going to be fighting for you to be working with them on the next team project or whatever. So just be a diligent person, and you'll end up finding unlimited work. It may take a while for people to know the type of person you are, but over time, eventually, you will be a very busy person. Ryan, you seem to be pretty busy. I think Ryan's dependable, gets the job done, so people start to ask him to do more and more stuff. That's just what happens with diligent people. Verse 5. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. So when you're gathering in the summer, you're a wise son. It is actually sometimes, it might be harder to gather in the summer sometimes. And in the harvest, like, especially when this was written, most of the world were revolved around farming. And your whole year was set by just 3 to 4 weeks of actual time being out in the harvest, gathering all the crops. Everything you did all year depended on these 3 to 4 weeks. And the work would be overwhelming. It's long hours. I actually, like many of you have heard me say before, I worked as a harvester one summer in a grain elevator. And we would work 116 hours I worked one week. But it's just, that's just how harvest goes, because you have to work. Because if you don't, you only get a short window before the crop, like, is no longer harvestable. Like, it goes spoil, falls off, the wheat falls on the ground, whatever the case. And if it's a rain day, you may not be able to work, have to wait for it to dry out. But any time that there is an ability to work during this 3 to 4 week window, you need to be out there doing something. Well, you can get really tired. And not to mention, if you're working and you've been waiting for this crop all year, and it finally starts to come in, and after a week of hard work, you're going to go sell it and live high on the hog and just party and relax, because now this whole year's been tough and the money's been tight, and now all of a sudden you got all these finances coming in, so you're going to take it at ease. Well, you're not smart, because you don't realize that the winter's going to come again and you're not going to have any money, so you got to work while there's work. So there was this one guy I'm thinking of right now, and he worked for me for many years, and he had this same thing, I think almost 3 years in a row. We would do Christmas lights, and I get so busy, I got so much work, and this guy was always hurting for work, and so he'd work for me for 2 or 3 weeks, and then almost all the time, he'd be like, Alfred, like, we have more than enough money, we're good, you're greedy. I was like, okay. And he just wouldn't show up. And then the very last year, I think this happened, I said, I will remember this in February when you're calling me looking for jobs, looking for money, because right now I have so much work that I'm turning it down, and you don't want to work right now. It's Fred, things are good, things are good. And then in February, March, when it's really slow for most contractors, he was calling me, seeing if I had anything. I was like, remember the conversation I had back with you in November, and you didn't want to work because you had more than enough money. You'd work hard for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, whatever it was. I was like, yeah, now that's, but you're just not smart enough to realize, look, you got to work while there's work, because there's not always work. So, verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So a wicked person has a way of just everything that comes out of their mouth, it's always like trying to get you in an argument, trying to badmouth someone. It's always just hoping bad things happen to someone else. It's like if you ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say it at all. Well, that doesn't govern their mouth. That is something that they don't take to heart. But blessings are upon the head of the just. Verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And you can go back throughout history, some of the people that most people would associate as the evil villains or the people that did really bad things, like maybe in their time, a lot of people followed them and thought great things of them, but in the end, when it finds out they were really not very good people, like not too many people have too much good to remember of them, even in their time, people may have thought they were good people. Verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. So, prating fool, you can look it up, but it's a guy that just runs his mouth, just keeps constantly just talks. Like, he's going to get himself in trouble. He just, like, when you know someone's talking a bunch, you know that you probably need to stay away from this person. Like, if they just incessantly talk all the time, and a lot of times there's just no real value in what they're saying, but they just constantly are just, like, you got to be careful with them, because they end up saying stuff they shouldn't say, and especially if they're saying stuff about someone else that you guys are both know, then you know when you're not around, they're probably saying stuff about you to other people. It's just who they are, unfortunately. But the wise in heart will receive commandments. So a wise person can be instructed, can be taught, can learn. A prating fool is too busy talking to pay attention to what you're trying to tell them. Verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that walketh uprightly shall be surely. Walketh surely. If you're always telling the truth all the time, you don't have to worry about something catching up with you. I mean, you don't have to worry about, the pastor doesn't have to worry that someone caught him saying one thing to another person and another thing to another, because pastor won't tell a lie ever. And I mean, he's not God, but what I know about him, I don't know him to ever misspeak something. He's not perfect, but I just don't know him to ever told a lie that I know of. But there's other people that the people that pervert their ways, it shall be known. There's the people that have come into this church here. At first, they're new and people, but after a while, almost everyone's had the same kind of experience with them, and everyone just kind of knows. Well, yep, you don't want to badmouth someone, but eventually, like if they continually burn you, you just know you're not going to give them so many chances. So, verse 10, he that winketh with his eyes causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. A person that runs his mouth, there he is, two verses later again saying a prating fool shall fall. Someone that can't stop running their mouth, running people down for no reason, they're going to get themselves in trouble. So you probably need to distance yourself from them before you get pulled into it. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. It's going to try to give you advice that's going to help you and keep you out of trouble, going to try to calm down a situation. When you're mad about something, if you're talking to them, if they're a wise person, they're probably going to help ratchet you down. But if they are the mouth of the wicked, violence covers the mouth of the wicked, then they are probably going to try to spin it up worse. Like, you got to get even. You shouldn't take that. Those are the kind of people you need to stay away from. You don't need people. They're speaking from lack of wisdom. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. So when someone hates someone, they will have a way to always try to spin everything up, that anything that person's involved in. And the root cause is they hate that person. So they're never going to say anything good about that person. And if they can find someone saying even just a little bit of something like, hey, dude, what has happened to so-and-so? It's like, well, you know what I heard? Like, they're going to constantly, because ultimately they don't like the person. So, verse 13, but the love covers sins. Like, if you love someone, if you really have the love of God in your heart for that person, you will try to point out the good in the person to maybe the other person that feels a little bit upset about something that person did to them. Maybe you'll try to calm them down and point out some of the good things that they... You know what? They've come a long way, haven't they? Praise God. And okay, verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. So, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. So, someone that has understanding, when you listen to him, you'll gather that while you're talking to him. But the rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. A person that's constantly in jams and trials, anyone that lives godly shall suffer persecution. So, I'm not saying that you're not going to find yourself in problems if you're... That doesn't necessarily mean you're void of understanding, but a person that can't be taught just by simple instructions, can't be taught by you trying to correct them with words and just trying to explain to them a better way to do something, unfortunately, they're destined to a life of pain and suffering. And they're constantly going to... The only way that they respond is through pain. Pain is the only thing that really gets them to listen up and to stop doing what they're doing. That's what it's saying. They're void of wisdom. And so the rod is for the back of fools, like a rod like you would beat someone with. But it's not talking about a human being should not be beating another person. But life has a way of beating you down from your bonehead mistakes. And it will happen again and again if you can't learn. God, so the teacher is always present. God is always trying to teach you something. But we as humans often are not very good students. So you have to go through the test again and again until you get what God was trying to teach you. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolish is near destruction. So wise people don't think they know it all. Like, they're wise, but they're wise enough to know that they don't know it all. And there's always something more you can learn. But the mouth of foolish is near destruction. A fool thinks he knows everything. He can't learn nothing because he already knows it once before you even try to explain to him a better way. Like, he already knows what you're going to say. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So rich people, his wealth is their strong city. They trust in their riches. I don't know if that's necessarily the best way. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. But the destruction is the destruction of the poor is their poverty. You could take that. There's a couple different interpretations, and they're not necessarily either the best interpretation or not necessarily wrong or the best. But sometimes the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Like, what did David say? That he didn't want to have too much lest he curse the name of God. He didn't want to have too little lest he steals. So even David, like when you are in a really serious jam, you could end up doing things that you wouldn't normally do. So the destruction of the poor is their poverty. But also, when you're poor, people take advantage of you. I know bosses that really will take advantage of people because they know they got nothing. They got no money. They got no transportation. And so they will give them really bad jobs and grunt work that really they're not being paid for very fairly. Maybe it's minimum wage, but for what they're doing, it's very rigorous work. But they got nothing to do because they need money really bad. There's some people that will hire illegals and then won't pay them at the end of the job because they're like, you're not here legally, so try to take me to court. You should never take advantage of someone because they're poor. Trust me, God will end up fighting against you for that. Verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked is to sin. So, the product of a wicked person is going to be bad. whatever their ultimate goal, whatever they're doing, it's always going to lead to something bad. You shouldn't be surprised when bad people do bad things, because it's out of the abundance proceeds the words out of the abundance of the heart proceeds the words of the mouth. Like when someone like really shocks you and does like something that you just can't believe, but they do it again and again, and they have a history of it, it shouldn't shock you that they invent even a new way to do something that's even more crazy. It's just that's what the fruit of wickedness is to sin. Like they just sinners sin. So someone doesn't have the Holy Ghost, don't expect a whole lot out of them, because unless they have the Spirit of God moving through them, it's really hard for a lot of good things to come out of that person. So I just look at them and realize they need God. That's because that was me before God found me, and I thank God that someone still reached out for me when the fruit of my doings was always to sin. No matter what I did, it always resulted in burning the people around me. That's what I did. But someone reached through all of that and thought that the Word of God could somehow help me. So praise God, it did. And we're in a world full of people in the same situations. They just don't know that God can save them and change them. Amen. He that is in the way of life, that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erred. So people that refuse instruction, like you tell them, it's probably not just you telling them what they're doing is probably not going to end out well. If they're doing something against the Word of God, it's probably not going to end well for them. And the way God works, usually out of the mouth of two or three witnesses of the truth established, he will usually, if God is dealing with someone, he's usually not just going to speak through one person. He will send, he may send me, may send the pastor, may send anyone in the church here, anyone that just, for some reason, if you ever have a scripture that just randomly pops in your mind when you're talking to someone, maybe God's trying to use you to be the sounding board to talk to them, and then they may not listen. But they're in their trial, if they're at all sensitive to the Spirit of God, whatever you said to them, God will use that and bring it back up in their trial, and they'll start to hopefully listen a little bit more the next time. Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So you can't hide hatred with lying lips. You can't pretend to like someone that you hate. That's what it's saying. You can't hate someone and then be all nice to them. Like it says, he that hideth hatred with his lips and he that uttereth slander is a fool. So then if you hate him, you don't just go straight out and tell them either. You don't tell them how much you hate him, what a dirty, rotten scoundrel they are. Like you can't say that, and you can't pretend to like them. Because, well, how do you fix that if you hate someone? Well, the answer is you're not allowed to hate someone. Jesus says when you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. So you need to go to God, go to the altar, and ask God, please help me forgive that person. Because you wouldn't hate that person if you didn't have some sort of grudge against them. There was something, some sort of unforgiveness. That's the root of why you hate that person. So what it's saying that there's something wrong with you if you hate someone. So you need to work on yourself. Verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Wanteth means it's not lacking. So here it is again, the prating fool shall fall. And this one says that the mouth in the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. So when you catch yourself talking a bunch, be careful, because you're probably saying some stuff that is going to get you in trouble. Like when you just run your mouth and just keep talking and keeps talking, I know myself, I get myself in trouble the more and more I keep talking about nothing. Like you just got to learn to, when it's kind of awkward, just it's better to be silent and deal with that awkwardness than to just sit there and run your mouth, because you're going to end up saying stuff you have no business saying. But then that's what it says, he that refraineth his lips is wise. It takes wisdom to figure this out. It takes wisdom to realize that, you know, I probably just shouldn't say anything right now. Verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is little worth. So a person that is just, it is valuable when you hear what they have to say to you. Like you'll stop what you're doing. Like, you know what? What'd you say again? And they'll repeat it. What, hey, I missed that. Like, they will take the time to really try to get what you're saying to them if you're a just person. But if, okay, verse. But the fool's, okay, wait. But the heart of the wicked is little worth. So the thought process, the heart, that's, we call it because we feel it here, but it's really what's going on in your mind, right? That's, so the thought process of the wicked, they're of little worth. Like, I don't want your opinions. Like, they don't, they're not going to help me. Like, if you're a wicked person, it's of little worth what you're going to try to instruct me and try to help me. Like, it's not going to come from the Word of God. Is probably not going to benefit me very much, as, at least in the grand scheme of things. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for want of wisdom. So a righteous person feeds many. The lips, the words that are coming out of their mouth, end up helping a lot of people. But fools die for lack of wisdom. Fools die because they don't have understanding. Unfortunately, a fool does not know they're a fool. A fool thinks that they know it all. A fool thinks they got it all together. A fool can't be taught because as soon as you try to teach them something, they already know. But God be thanked that, I mean, you can be a fool and become a wise man. Like, you just have to understand that anyone can be a fool. Like, so Solomon, remember, he would, in today's terms, we would call it, he had tens of thousands of servants. We would call them today employees, probably, something more like that. But in his dealings for many decades of having all these servants, he grouped his basic servants or employees into this category. They're either a fool or a wise servant. You just don't want to be playing the part of a fool. Like, you want to be teachable. You want to not think you know it all. Okay. The blessing, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, you can go on and on about this. There's a man, brother, readout. I think he's got out of 60 lessons on this one scripture, but it can go really far into this scripture. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So just because you received a financial blessing doesn't mean it's of the Lord. If there's things that look like a blessing initially, but they may have a lot of sorrow attached to it. They may have a lot of pain and suffering that come with it down the road. It says, like, idolatry, people having coveted after, erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows because they thought that the blessing of God was a financial blessing, and they didn't realize with that was a bunch of strings attached, and those strings attached pierced them through with many sorrows. So, but if you're really getting a blessing from the Lord, it doesn't come with sorrow attached to it. It doesn't come with a lot of pain and suffering attached to it. And maybe there may be physical in this life. I mean, if you looked at Paul's physical life, he got beaten many times, beaten with rods, lashings, shipwrecked. I mean, stoned, all these things again and again. But he didn't have any sorrow with it because he knew his life was making a difference. He knew that he was only enduring all this injustice because Satan fights hardest where he fears the most. Like, Satan did not like what Paul was doing. And so he knew his life had purpose. So all the physical pain he went through had no sorrow with it. Amen? Okay, now, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. So a fool likes to get in trouble. They like to clown around. They like to, if that's just what they do. They like mischief. That's what makes them motivated. It's the way their brain works. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Unfortunately, if a A drug dealer fearing that he's going to be snitched on, guess what? It is going to happen to him one day. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So a righteous person has desires. Now, part of being righteous, you can't really be righteous of your own accord. You're going to need the help of the Lord to be made right. Like, you can't really have righteous desires without God reaching into your heart and changing it. But when you have righteous desires, like, God hears the prayers of the righteous. Like, God will answer those prayers. If any man prays according to the will of God, that we know that he heareth them and he has the petitions of his heart. If you're praying according to the will of God, God answers that. So that's part of the reasons why the desires of the righteous will be fulfilled, because they desire things that God already wants to give them. So, verse 25. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. So the wicked can rise, come to power, and be tyrannical. They can really cause a lot of problems for some time. But they, like a whirlwind, like you see a whirlwind, you can see them, like, but they don't last. Eventually they're gone and no one remembers they're even there. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. I mean, well, we're still talking about David. A lot of people in the Old Testament became pillars. But, okay, verse 26. A vinegar to the teeth and a smoke to the eyes. Anyone ever drank vinegar and had sensitive teeth? Like, anyone? I guess when you're younger, you may not have the same effect. As when you get a little older and you haven't brushed your teeth as often as you ought, like vinegar to your teeth and smoke to your eyes. I'm sure anyone understands the smoke to your eyes. Everyone loves to be around the fire except when the wind changes directions and the smoke is blowing in your face. Then smoke to your eyes. So is a sluggard to him that sends him. So sometimes you need something done really bad and you're really urgent and you look over and you see someone and you know that they really have a tough time ever doing what they're supposed to. If you're asking them to go, please help me out of this jam. Could you go do this for me? Could you go tell so-and-so? After you ask them, you're like, oh, man, I cannot believe I asked them. Sometimes I think Caitlin thinks the scripture applies to me. Sometimes she asks me to do stuff. And she's like, why did I even ask you? I should have just did it myself after, like, I go to the store to get whatever I was supposed to get and come back. And she's got to go and get it because I, whatever. And usually she did it because she's absolutely, like, so busy. Like, she has no time. She's looking for a favor or looking for a way help. But anyways, so I try not to be a sluggard, but I can sometimes. But I'm sure everyone here has had that experience at some point. But this is just warning you. When you're in a jam, do not turn to the person that you know is never dependable, and never gets anything done right, and don't ask them to please help you. That, like, as a way of relief, it's probably better just to leave them out of the equation. Figure out, even though you're in a tough situation, just figure a way out on your own. Do not turn to the sluggard for help. Okay. Now, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And I'm sure many of us know people that did not live a very long life, unfortunately. People that were good, people that we really liked and we really wish God would have gotten a hold of, but they're not here with us anymore because they eventually do something that unfortunately cost them their life. Now, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. So, when a righteous person is hoping for something, when you're praying, part of your prayer is that you hope that God does something. That's why you're praying. You have hope that it's making a difference. And guess what? When it comes to pass, it brings great gladness when you see your prayers get answered. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Wicked people, they have all these plans, all these dreams, all these agendas, all these five-year goals. Well, they may have all these different things, but it's not going to happen, unfortunately, for them. And it just That's how it works. Okay. Now, 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. So, doing things the right way. I don't care how many people make fun of you, how many people are clowning on you, because you're doing things the right way. Even when no one's watching, you're being honest. You're trying to be as honest as you can on your taxes. And even though everyone else is saying that's stupid, like, why would you do that? Like, because Jesus says to give unto Caesar what's due Caesar. So you should try to honor the Lord. But when people make fun of you, they mock you, and you're trying to not lie, cheat, or steal, even though all your friends are doing it, they're all figured out some way to lie on the exam, to use AI to write their articles for them and turning it in. But you don't want to do it because you know that God wouldn't bless that. Well, guess what? The way of the Lord is the strength to the upright. You're becoming a better person. You're learning how to walk with the Lord and follow the conviction that He is giving you. But the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. People that continually get away with doing the wrong thing, and even if there's a big crowd of them, their life is not going to end well, and they're going to end in they're going to have a lot of problems. And you're going to be right there with them if you don't learn to follow your conscience when the Lord is asking you to stop doing what the crowd is doing. Okay. Verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. So, the righteous shall never be removed. Sometimes, especially in the culture we're living in, it's tough to understand that because the American culture we're in right now, they really do not like people standing for righteousness. There is a big push of just a sinful culture that can't stand people that are trying to live for God. And it is the spirit of the age that we're living in. But I can say from this scripture, the righteous shall never be removed, that it's worth living for God, no matter if the whole world is against you. If God is on your side, that is enough. You're going to weather the storm. And it may not make any sense. It may seem like everyone has it out for you, and everyone else is seeming to prosper and not doing things the right way. But just hang on. Hold on. Hang in there. Just trust in the Lord. God will establish you. Okay, verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Froward is, I think it's mostly a know-it-all person, and also not just know-it-all, but also mocking people that are trying to do right, trying to live for God. But the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Let's go to verse 32. The lips of the righteous knoweth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So the mouth of a wicked person just speaks things that should not be said. We'll make fun of people doing the right thing for one. But the lips of the righteous knows what's acceptable. Like, sometimes you can be right, but still be wrong. Sometimes you know what you're thinking. People are arguing about the right way to do something, or what is the best way. And you may actually know what really is the truth. But you, if you're a righteous person, you know that, you know, if I add anything to this drama, it's not going to do any good. So you can be right, and you don't have to tell people. You can let them be wrong and not have to tell them. That is a revelation that not a lot of people get. But you can be right and you don't have to tell people. That is tough to watch people that are wrong and people that think that they know that they're right. But if you know that they're not going to receive what you have to say and it's going to turn into an argument, because that's just how some people are, then it's best just to maintain some sort of peace and wait for possibly a better time that maybe God will open a door for you to minister to him. But sometimes it just takes great wisdom, and it takes being a righteous person to know when it's acceptable to say what God has put upon your heart. I'm constantly trying to think about ways to say something to a person because I know that they have a certain issue. I'm sure God is dealing with them, but it's not the right time to tell them. And I honestly, I still haven't figured out very often when it is the right time to tell them. But usually it's not a good time ever to tell them. So I just try to tell funny stories about myself and how I got myself in trouble because I was doing something stupid or whatever. But I feel like it's more relatable to put myself as the brunt of the joke rather than to try to point a finger at them and be like, look, if you'd fix yourself with this, then this wouldn't happen. Because they get very defensive and they think that, who are you to try to tell me? Like, I know I have a relationship with God, whatever. So praise God. So I think that's a little early, but I think that's 30 scriptures. Is that what we just, 32? 32. And unfortunately, some of them I still don't have very good understanding. But I can tell you, when I first read the Proverbs 20 years ago, I started reading them, and they were a great mystery to me. I could not understand barely any of them. And even now, sometimes I think I understand one, and then I hear someone else say something about it, and I was like, that makes a lot more sense than even what I thought. And sometimes it doesn't mean what I thought was wrong before. It's just I get another layer, another understanding, a deeper understanding of that scripture. So I would encourage everyone in this church to study the Proverbs. Just it's a good habit to get into. If you just open your Bible, there's 31 days in some months and 30 days in most of the rest. Whatever day it is, if you just don't know what to read, just turn it to today's the 10th. Let's turn it to Proverbs chapter 10. And I've done this before, I think, in this church. But it's good. Like, I love, if people want to pull me aside and do a Proverbs Bible study, you're going to teach me, I'm all ears. I will listen because I just want Proverbs, like, memorized. I want it to just be everything I walk by, talk by. I just want them to constantly, because there's so many times when I'm in the middle of starting an argument and a proverb comes to me. And, like, I can't remember the word for it because I haven't read it enough. But one talks about a fool. If someone argues with the fool, then you, in fact, are a fool. Because both people are the fool when you get into an argument. I can't remember the exact proverb. We just had this Bible study in our house a few days ago, last week. So I can't remember which one it is. But if you argue with a fool, you, in fact, are a fool. So because it's impossible to tell who the fool is once the argument breaks out. So sometimes when you're realizing you're dealing with a fool, you just got to drop the conversation. Because you're going to learn how to be just like them. Amen. So let's all rise. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, it's a simple lesson tonight, Lord, just your word, Lord. But I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us to see that there's something in your word for all of us, Lord Jesus, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk with you a little closer than we ever have before. And help us to be a witness to this world, Lord. That so many people are watching us, Lord Jesus. You purposely, Lord, are causing them to watch us, Lord. You want us to be a living epistle, read of all men, Lord. You want our lifestyles to be an example to those that are lost, Lord, that it may provoke them to ask us, what is this hope of our salvation? Why are we such strong believers in this great God that we serve, Lord? Help us, Lord, have the joy of the Lord in everything we do, Lord. And especially help us to have the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Teach us, Lord, how to guide our conversations, Lord, in the Holy Ghost with others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.